Haskell, Auckland, New Zealand, February 19, 1893. Dear Brother Haskell, I received your good letter, and I thank and praise my Heavenly Father for its contents. It is good, and I thank you for writing so fully. I am improving in health. I sent to Marion a diary of our journey, up to our leaving Sydney, and told her to employ one who could copy on the calligraph and send you and others copies of the same. We found them in Sydney and Parramatta in need of help. I spoke evenings in Parramatta, for I could not get the congregation in their church unless I did this. I spoke to them about 6 times, and the Lord blessed me. I went to this place greatly exhausted, from the labors and burdens borne during the conference. I was unable to visit because of the amount of work to be done. I wrote a long message to Brother Robert Hare and wife, and then sent for them to come to Brother Hughes, where I was making my home, and I read that which I had written. He looked, at first, quite sullen over the matter, and said he might as well give up preaching. I said, "That is what I expected you would say, for that is your way and your spirit, to take anything that comes to you in reproof. You think you are humble, but if it were so, in truth, it would not be thus. The Lord sees and reads the human heart. He is acquainted with all your dangers, with your spirit, and He loves you and wants to save you. It is because you do not understand your own errors and the defects in your character that He sends you His warnings, His encouragements, and you should receive these all as a blessing, the most to be appreciated of anything He can give you. He has given me a message to give to you. I have done my duty to set your true situation before you. The case of Elder Daniels, in California, you are acquainted with. Well, you are following in the same track of experience in your ministerial labor. You are in constant fear and trembling lest you shall not have a congregation, and you employ, as Elder Daniels did, methods to attract, which is entirely contrary to the practices and the manners of Christ's teaching. You must, Brother Hare, study the lessons that Jesus Christ gave to His disciples, and let their simplicity charm you, and then seek to have the mind of Christ, and you will teach as Christ taught. The very clearness and simplicity of His teachings were in such marked contrast to the teachings of the scribes and priests that the common people heard Him gladly. Many priests and nobles believed on Him, but durst not acknowledge it for fear of being put out of the synagogue. But after His crucifixion and resurrection, and the descent of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when the Jews thought the disciples of Christ would be discouraged and hopeless, lo, they were preaching the gospel with all fervor and with power, for Christ was in them as a well of water springing up unto everlasting life, and could not be repressed. 5,000 were converted in a day, and those who dared not take their position before the humiliation, rejection, and crucifixion of our blessed Lord came out boldly and confessed their faith in Christ. The testimony of those faithful witnesses rung out clear, distinct, the trumpet giving a certain sound. Those who had been the accusers of Christ were here themselves accused under the testimony of the Holy Spirit of God. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and His name through faith in His name hath made this man strong whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Acts 3, verse 14-16, 19-21. This testimony was an astonishment to the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. These were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands upon them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. What an interesting history this is. I feel like reproducing the whole chapters, but forbear. I set before brother and sister Hare that when the Holy Spirit rested upon the messenger, he would not feel compelled to invent methods of a theatrical character to please the perverted taste of the people. Well, brother and sister Hare, I thought, would not be out that night to hear me speak, but they were out. The Lord gave me a decided testimony, clear-cut and like a two-edged sword, in regard to the perpetuity of the law of God, and especially the Sabbath of the fourth commandment, dwelling upon the point of its being a memorial of God's creation work in making our world. To the Lord be all the glory. The truth did cut its way to hearts. One man, who had been a missionary, I think, to India, had been opposing and going from house to house, misstating and garbling the truth. He came to Brother Steed next morning and said, "Is this the way the matter stands?" I never heard such words, and I never heard your faith laid out in such a way as this. Why, it looks as though God was in it. And if it is as this woman says, I am tearing down what God is building up, and do not want to be found fighting against God. It looks that way to me now, and I must search into this matter. A time was appointed by Brother Steed to give a Bible reading, and he said he would be glad of the opportunity. Brother Steed said his face was very pale, and he seemed much troubled in his mind. "Oh," said Brother Steed, "if his influence could only be killed in this place, it would remove a great barrier out of our way in getting the truth before many souls who are interested. He puts false statements before them in regard to our faith, which they accept as truth. We are requested to visit a Mr. Martin, who was convinced of the truth, but his wife, a primitive Methodist, was as bitter as gall, and so prejudiced that she would not come out to hear. Neither would she receive anything from the believers and teachers of the faith. But we called, according to Mr. Martin's request, and he treated us courteously, but his wife would not reveal herself. His eldest daughter treated us well. We were treated with fruit and lemonade made by Mr. Martin. He is a wealthy man, a fruit grower. Thursday night, lo, Mr. Martin and his little opposing wife, and a Methodist minister's wife, who had exerted that influence over Mrs. Martin, was present to hear me speak. Mr. Martin told Brother Steed all about it. He said his wife and the minister's wife had not one word of objection to raise to the words spoken, which was a marvel to him. He said that the minister's wife said Mrs. White's words were very straight. He said, "She had gone deeper than any of us in religious experience. It is wonderful." Then Mr. Martin stated that his wife and the minister's wife were watching me. Both were in a back room. They could see me through the window, but neither of them came to speak to us. Well, Mr. Martin took Elder Steed in his carriage and went out searching the best place to pitch the tent, not many miles from Parramatta, so that they could keep up the interest in Parramatta and still reach another class about 10 miles from Parramatta. The voice of the whole region of country is, "Come in our neighborhood, and we will ensure you a good attendance in your tent." When they had found a good situation, they asked the proprietor if they could pitch the tent on his field. He said, "Come in and take dinner with me, and we will talk it over." He then said he was leaving the place, and as he did not want to get into trouble with the landowner, he would let the land to Mr. Martin, and Mr. Martin, being a man of influence, could do with it as he pleased. So thus the matter was arranged. I was pleased to see that the whole community around Parramatta was stirred and anxious to hear what these strange things are that have been brought to their ears. When we get through with our work in New Zealand, we return to Parramatta, and shall probably remain there during the winter, as the climate is much better than in Melbourne. I spoke Sabbath forenoon in Sydney, and then we went to the boat. We were all sick the first day, and to a purpose. Emily was sick, and Sister Star all the way. Willie was our dependence. He was so helpful and attentive, seemed to know just what to do at all times, and on all occasions. I do not know what I should do without Willie. He is not only a great comfort to me, but a wise counselor. He shows much wisdom in the work he has to do in connection with the office and the cause of God in general. Well, about Auckland, it pained my heart to see the empty seats, and the testimony I had to bear was close and cutting. I had not a message of peace. I spoke from Isaiah 58, and Brother Hare especially seemed to feel. He wept much. Some confessions were made, but thorough work was not made, and my testimony had no change. It was presenting to them their wicked course of action, which had separated them from Christ. I felt deeply in regard to the situation of the churches in New Zealand. In Auckland, they have a beautiful city, and the Seventh-day Adventists have a good church building. It is a pleasant, plain, neat chapel. This is a precious beginning, but the material that composed the leading elements in the church have not been that which God could use. They were too well satisfied to walk in the sparks of their own kindling. They have not felt their entire dependence upon God, that unless he built the house, the church, the builders may labor in vain. Says Christ, "Without me ye can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. I urge the question, what do you individually think of Christ? You will individually reveal just what your ideas are of Christ by your own course of life, at home and in your business transactions and in the world. If you are looking away from yourself, if you were hiding in Jesus and constantly troubling the heart before God, then Jesus would work for the church in Auckland. If you retain your present ideas of what constitutes a Christian character, the truth is no truth to you. It cannot possibly do you any good. But you will, by your present ideas, bring the truth into the more reproach. I shall have more to say in reference to these things. I may say them tomorrow if I am able. I speak in the Opera House tonight. May the Lord help me. I have now spoken 6 times to this little few. Elder Starr has labored unitedly in the same line, putting heart and energy into the work. His soul is stirred to its very depths with the terrible state of things. I have a heavy burden to bear, which I dare not touch formally and thoroughly until we reach Napier. From what I know of Edward Hare, he would make excuses not to go. But things must be taken hold of in earnest, and he must be a converted man, or he is lost. If this man has followed the Lord at all, it is afar off. The church members have invited unbelievers to come to the church, while its leading members have dishonored the sacred truth by quarreling or disputing who would be the greatest. This drawing one from the other has been to the disgrace of the truth and Christianity. So that outsiders have no interest to come to the meetings, they say to hear the members of the church quarrel. One will get up and speak, and another will get up and tell him he lies, right in the church. But enough of this painful picture. We must work still and hope during our camp meeting to lift the standard, for we can but hang our heads in shame and sorrow at the unchristlike work that has been carried on in this city. But, Brother Haskell, we will look with our eye of faith to the city of God. Then we will meet the just man made perfect, without fault, before the throne of God. Here in this world, Satan will seek to intercept his shadow, that we shall lose sight of our precious Savior. But then, if we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, we shall see Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, never more to be veiled from our sight. Heaven, how much richer and more attractive than earth! And we shall see him as he is. We shall then indeed endure, not as now by faith, the seeing of him who is invisible, but we shall see him with our eyes for ourselves and not by another, and be so renewed, transformed, glorified with Christ, that we can look upon him with delight each moment. We feel indeed that we are richer and richer as the glories of the eternal world are unfolded to our sight in companionship of the holy and loved ones who have been cleansed and sanctified and glorified. We look on all the riches of heaven, and its treasures rapidly accumulate, as we can take them in, until we can have a conception of what the eternal delight of glory really is. But the great and most prized treasure of heaven's powerful attraction is Jesus. What would heaven be without Jesus? He is to me this day the chief among 10,000s, the one altogether lovely, but here in this life is our probation. Set your affections on things above and not the earthly. Not a particle of the human affection that God has given us is to be destroyed. It is not the work of the Christian religion to destroy or impair the wealth of the talent of affections and pure love which God had imparted to us, but on the contrary, God acknowledges and encourages and strengthens them all by guiding them, not extinguishing them, into right channels. Through becoming partakers of the divine nature, these affections are sanctified, purified, uplifted, and balanced by the virtues and merits of Jesus Christ. The dross, the sensual, are taken away. The truth of God, sanctifying the soul, gives tone, elevation, and permanency to the affections. What cause we have for gratitude that we finite beings can be laborers together with God? If we have disappointments, we know Jesus had the same, and he was bearing all these for us.
For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto fountains of living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 7, verse 17. We read, And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat. Verses 15, 16. We must contemplate these things and rejoice in the attractions of the future immortal world. What motives as our incentive for consecration and devotion to God? I feel deeply a responsibility upon me to present the great necessity in these fields in this country. I plead for workers. Finances are very limited at the present time. The standard of Christianity is very low, and souls are perishing out of Christ. The truth, present truth, has come to the knowledge of very few. I am not sure that I shall ever leave this field. The help that was needed before we came, and since we came, to do missionary work is not on the ground, and I dare not leave this country until I see the cause of present truth progressing, and churches built, and schools established. There will be the reproaches of myriads of souls whom those who knew the truth have left to go unwarned and unsaved, neglected work by these who claim to be servants of Jesus Christ. The heavenly intelligences are waiting the cooperation of the living human beings as agents. I wish I could cry across the broad waters reasons why the church should arise and shine as missionaries for God. Our reasons are, we must have a reckoning of the price of each human soul, and the number perishing in their darkness and ignorance through the negligence of those who profess to know Jesus Christ. Then compute, if you can, the glory which would come from their souls redeemed to God and the Lamb. Every soul saved is a triumph of the grace of Christ. May the Lord impress His people to come over and help us.
This is the new field from your telling a Juns for me, is an interesting the minute.
Your entire devotedness is now called for to redeem the time and, if possible, retrace the evil results of your past carelessness as Christians. No one is, today, living to himself whose battery is not planted against Jesus Christ. Everyone has an influence, which God calls for his use, entirely for his glory. But I cannot write more now. We soon take the boat.